The first satanic temple is advertising abortion again, but this time they made a cartoon to advertise it seemingly to young girls, as we look at Satan's continued plan to garner more ignorant adherents, whether in jest or not.
The Good Fight Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about Satanism as well as abortion and a number of topics, especially the fact that so many Satanists want you to believe that they really don't worship Satan. They're just really angry atheists. But to discuss this very important topic with me is none other than the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel.
Yeah, Chad, it's something that we've been exposing for decades, right? And of course, the Bible says that Satan doesn't come in, as Irenaeus, the early church father, said, all of his naked deformity. And the Apostle Paul said he comes as the angel of light. And he says, no wonder, for his servants also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds, you know, 2 Corinthians 11. So God's word warns us that not only Satan, but his servants would try to be presenting themselves as though they were doing good. And it's crazy. Because, Chad, as you know, the scriptures warn that in the last days, they'd be calling good evil and evil good and put light for darkness and darkness for light. And here they're putting liberty for actually enslavement and death and calling it life and liberty. So I'm excited to get into this.
Amen. And that's an important thing. And for those who don't know why we're talking about this subject, a recent, and it's gone a little viral as well, recent commercial that was done by the first satanic temple. And I know a lot of people, before we even play this, a lot of people, oh, this is what they want. This is what they want, is just more exposure. And they just want you angry and you talking about it. I'm going to tell you right now, I want people to see this in light of the truth rather than just see it being thrown up there. And so, yes, I don't care what they want. We're going to do what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with it, but rather expose it.
Amen.
And it's one of those things, we want to make sure that we're saying, hey, there are actual arguments being made here, or there are things being stated here, there are things being advertised here that are killing babies. And so Let's expose it for the wickedness that it is, and also show you it's not light, it's not a joke, and guess what? It's no joke. They are coming after your children.
It can seem like everyone is making decisions about your body, like you can't be trusted to make your own choices. Everyone, except Satan. The Satanic Temple believes in the religious right to bodily autonomy. We believe so deeply that we exercise that right with
Samuel Alito's Mom's Satanic Abortion Clinic.
Our clinic provides safe religious reproductive health care. We've partnered with an accredited pharmacy to deliver abortion medication. And best of all, our services are free. To learn more or to receive free reproductive health care, visit our website. To support our fight for religious reproductive rights, donate $6.66 a month or more to
Abortion Clinic.
Support TST Health's Supreme Courtship fundraiser and choose from a variety of donation gifts, including a Sam Sack lunchbox, a Get Out of Pregnancy Free card, and our SCOTUS series of condoms featuring all nine justices. Donate today.
Well, there it is. And you are hearing that. And sadly enough, Joe, one of the things, I guess, you know, before I even get into the whole Samuel Alito's Satanic Abortion Clinic and how they do that, the Supreme Court justices, the condoms they're selling and are given out and so forth on there. And you have to understand, this is the new way of abortion. First of all, it's always been a sacrifice to Satan, whether it was through Moloch or Baal or whoever it is. It has always been a sacrifice to Satan. That's what this has always been, is child sacrifice. But now, Joe, the heartbreaking thing is they're now giving medicine to kill the baby. A lot, instead of having these young girls travel down to go and have these abortion doctors rip babies limb from limb and then sometimes sell the parts, this is now the new wave, is we'll give you a pill to pop to murder the baby and to kill it. And Joe, just as a side note, it's a pagan Hippocratic oath, but that used to be a part of the Hippocratic oath.
Yeah,
one of the original was that you were not going to take anything and ingest anything that would end the life of a child. And yet this is what these hypocrites, these, you know, these people claiming to be doctors or whatever are actually doing. They're sending out abortion pills and murdering babies, and it's a heartbreaking thing.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking, Chad. The early church fathers, they condemned the use of pharmakeia because of two reasons, two main reasons. One was because it was used in potions. They used drugs to open you up to the demonic world, which is happening right now, whether it's through meth or magic mushrooms, hallucinogens, psilocybin, LSD, you know, DMT, all sorts of, you know, hallucinogens. But also they condemned it because it was used to kill children. They used drugs. Way back in the first, second century, they were doing that in the Roman Empire, and the early church fathers condemned what they called pharmakeia, which, as you know, Chad, and many of you in our audience know, is condemned in the book of Revelation 4 times. So it's really heartbreaking. But it's also interesting, Chad, you mentioned how sacrificing or killing your baby, you may not recognize it. You may say, well, I mean, most people realize they're sacrificing their baby so they can have more time, so they have more money maybe, more convenience, not deal with the stigma of having a child, whatever may be in their mind. But in ancient times, they would sacrifice their children, as Chad said, to Topheth, to Moloch, Baal, different gods at different times. And the Bible says in the law, Deuteronomy, they're sacrificing basically to these gods, these are demons. And the book of Psalms says the same thing. And Paul in 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 10, 20 through 21, he says what the Gentiles sacrifice, they don't sacrifice unto God, but they sacrifice unto demons. So a lot of times, this is important, people get a misconception. Well, I'm just doing this, it's not that big of a deal. Well, first of all, it's murder, you know? And if you've had an abortion, or you're a man, and you've encouraged your girlfriend or your wife to have an abortion, it is murder, and we have to just be real, you know? Before I met my wife, and she had had a couple of abortions, and when she became a Christian, I played a song for her, and I didn't know her past. We're driving, and we're just, you know, starting to see each other. And then all of a sudden, I hit pause. I said, you know what? This song is about abortion. I don't know if you want me to, about, ooh, man, this might be a heavy subject. She goes, she came out of the Now movement. She's like, I am women kind of mentality. When, before she was saved, went to some now, a lot of Now meetings with her mom. She said, no, I'm good with it. She's a new Christian. So I'm like, oh, wow. And the song was from the Psalms where the baby, the song is appropriated for the baby crying out to deliver him or herself from being butchered. And as she's listening to the song, it was like a piercing cry. You know, I can still feel it to this day. She's like, turn it off. Because I'm driving, I'm not even seeing her at that moment. Turn it off. And we had to pull over, and she's bawling. And a lot of times you don't realize how serious sin is and what you're doing. And until you do, I let her know there's forgiveness in Christ. So you can be forgiven. I think that's important to know. And we need to be forgiven if we're going to be right with God. But Chad, incredibly, a lot of people that are presenting this, there's not a guilt or a concern about, you know, killing. It's all in the guise of freedom, you know. And the Bible talks about the false prophets where they promise you freedom, but they themselves are the slaves of corruption. And that's what these guys are.
That's exactly right. They're slaves to corruption. And when we see this and these lies that are told to young people, and that is, it's sad that that is the war cry for so many, specifically in our country, in the United States, when it comes to those on the left. This is it. Like, this is their entire campaign model, is just to get people, somebody is trying to take your rights away, and this is your right to end this baby's life. And sadly enough, now you have on what people would call the right, they're all acquiescing too. I mean, over and over again, you're listening to conservative talking heads basically saying like, hey, we're going to lose the election if we don't, you know, if we don't give in a little bit on, you know, abortion and so forth. And the truth is, like, what are you conserving? Like, if you can call yourself a conservative, what are you conserving? If you aren't conserving life at the very least, like, you are doing very little to do really anything. And so it's a sad thing to see. It's a heartbreaking thing. But ultimately, what we also want to talk about on this show, I hopefully at this point, you guys all know that abortion is an abominable act, that it's something that when God says in Proverbs 6, the things that he hates, and this is, it's not like he doesn't hate other things, but let's specifically hone in on certain things that God hates. And one of those things is hands, the hands that shed innocent blood. And so it is so clear to us. And remember that when they were doing these sacrifices in Jeremiah chapter 19, it actually calls them innocent as well, which was a legal decree for a baby that was being sacrificed.
The babies were being called innocent.
The babies were being called innocent. And so, yes, under the same classification, the same hands that shed innocent blood are shedding the blood of babies that are called innocent in God's word as well. Amen. So yes, these are the very things that God hates. And so yes, we should know that. We should also recognize that it's a baby in the womb, just from John the Baptist alone being the first to recognize Jesus, right, in the womb.
When Jesus was conceived.
Exactly.
Yeah, at conception, not 6 weeks later, folks.
Amen, amen. So just wanted to get those out of the way before we talk about something else here. And that is specific to the Church of Satan. And Joe, here's something once again, and notice the jovial nature of this cartoon. And it all just sounds like a nice little, you know, oh, here, donate $6.66 and let's be really jokey.
Oh, what a coincidence, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We all think we're so funny because we'll poke fun at Christians and so forth. But here's the thing, Joe. They've done this forever. Mm-hmm. It seems like when it comes to Satanism, always, and you already started the show quoting both Paul and also Irenaeus, that you know what? You know, Satan would not just come out in its naked deformity, but they will try to come and show himself to be more true than truth itself. And
that's right.
They're
that's
trying
Irenaeus
just
too.
Saying, yeah, exactly. And they are going to act like, hey, this is just, oh, we're fun and joke. It's just a different philosophy, actually. This is your truth, maybe, yeah. Joe. And what people may not realize is this is not just a new theory for Satanists to do this. We can go back to, obviously, Satan in the Garden of Eden trying to make himself look even more upright than God himself by saying, oh, well,
that's right.
I'm not lying to you. I'm showing you the truth, you know, and so forth.
It's a great point.
But you also have, Joe, even in the more form of modern Satanism, and let's actually go even a little bit before Crowley, you know, contemporary, but a little bit earlier on with Helena Blavatsky and the way that she made Satan look, you know, Lucifer, I should say, look over and over again. It just seems like this lightening the load of what Satan really is has always been so clearly passed on to try to make it more palatable.
Yes, and I know we want to cover many of those who've had the greatest influence on the New Age movement and Satanism, so we can't spend time on a lot of these folks, but we thought it'd be better for you guys, Chad and I, as we discussed this before we came on, to discuss them and make some just quick hits so you understand that all of these folks, for the most part, present a gentler, kindler form of Satanism, or, oh, well, it's not really Satanism. And Blavatsky, you know, she tried to, you know, present it as, you know, vibrations and metaphysics and you know, this, she called it the, you know, New Age way back then. And Helena Blavatsky was a Russian mystic. She started the Theosophical Society in 1875. But she wrote, we don't have time to quote it all. We've done whole shows on with many things regarding Blavatsky. In fact, the true manifestation of evil that was done, what, 3-4 months ago. But in that, well, I'll just say this much. She talks about Satan being our liberator. He's our redeemer. And she just calls him our savior. And she's channeling spirit. She admits that and so forth. So she was promoting Satan. But then on the other hand, she would, you know, talk about, well, he's more of a metaphor. He doesn't really exist and so forth. Of course, they have to do that. Otherwise, people are going to drop her like a hot potato. But at the same time, Satan wants to be glorified. So the truth comes out. And you see in a lot of her writings where she actually believed at times and would present Satan as a true entity.
You know, it's, and not just her, and for me, when I'm looking at, it's very eerie when you even see pictures of these two people, but Helena Blavatsky, she might have been the female version of what Aleister Crowley being the male version, when you see them and him being more aligned with so much of the drug revolution, the sexual promiscuity, all of this debaucherous behavior. And Joe, once again, he would also try to be light on his feet. He would also try to joke around a lot. And it looks like a lot of people got really confused by him as well.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Because Crowley at times would say, oh yeah, Satan doesn't really exist and so forth. But then when you look at his Book of the Law, which all of his other books basically orbited around, and that his whole life was based on that revelation from a spirit entity that channeled to him the book of the law, which states things with my hawk's head, I'll peck out the eyes of Jesus as he hangs upon the cross and so forth. That spirit identified its name as Iwas, and later he identifies that Iwas in a footnote in his book Magic as Satan himself. And Chad, you and I have both looked a lot at his so-called hagiography, his warped sense of humor, the biography of a saint. Hagios is the Greek word for holy or holy one or saint. And in that, his biography talks about how his dad was a Plymouth Brethren evangelist, and he, at the same time, he was brought up that way, but he was just so evil that his mom would call him the Beast. He later signed his name, the Beast 666. And it's interesting because Crowley says he wanted to get hold of, when he read the book of Revelation, he'd see Christ the Lamb, but he was really drawn to the dragon and Satan. And he said he wasn't content to just get a hold of the devil, but he said he wanted to get hold of him personally and become his chief of staff. And he was channeling demons. I mean, and he basically is the cornerstone of modern day New Age occultism, his teachings. And he talked all about, as you know, Chad, butchering babies for power to be released to him as a Satanist, and the best sacrifice being that of a young male child. Well, you don't get much younger than being in the womb.
Amen. And like you said, even in Confessions of Aleister Crowley, this is his autobiography.
Yeah.
And that's where he clearly stated that, as you mentioned, he believed the doctrines of the Plymouth Brethren. He said, but I simply went over to Satan's side. Yeah. And to this hour, I cannot tell why. This is not somebody who just, oh yeah, no, it's all just fake and let's just joke about it. But he knew he was not going to get the adherence if he just came out and said, oh, let's just worship Satan.
That's so important that you bring that up, because he even wrestled with the idea that he was saved in the past as a Plymouth Brethren, and he was taught the doctrine of once saved, always saved. He says that he was taught as a Calvinist, because it's a Calvinistic group, that he was predestined to salvation. And there's nothing he could do to forfeit it. So he's thought to do things like, you know, blaspheme the Holy Spirit to make sure he could totally renounce God and not be saved, which is really crazy when you think about it. So he was wrestling with trying to make sure he could defy God and follow Satan. And, you know, sure enough, the Bible doesn't teach that you're predestined without a choice, and that God doesn't, you know, have foreknowledge of your choices. The Bible puts, you know, God has foreknown, he's predestined. So God uses foreknowledge. He knows who will receive Christ. And that's what the early church fathers believed. He knows who will receive and who will reject him. Foreknowledge and predestination go together. What God's joined together, let no man separate. So it's really tragic but he presented to his followers, like Blavatsky, Satan as, well, you know, we don't really believe in Satan, but he encouraged them to follow Satan. All the time, Satan's, you know, laughing about this.
Yeah, whether he, it didn't matter. He just, as long as he has his adherence. But another one who followed a lot of Aleister Crowley's teachings as well and quoted him, you know, extensively, even in, you know, the Satanic Bible, so to speak, is Anton LaVey. And he is another one. And guys, this one, I'm going to be honest with you. If you have not read the article, The Truth About the Satanic Cults, on our website, we'll put a link in the description here. But if you have not read it, I encourage you guys to check it out now. We've had a number of Satanists come out of Satanism and honestly look at the truths of Christianity from this article. Somebody actually was printing it out and handing it out as a Bible tract up in the San Francisco area. But you have to read it. But, and Joe, and I think it's in one of our more popular videos that we have out recently, I quoted extensively in that video, and it is very interesting that people fell for Anton LaVey's tactics, very similar to Blavatsky and Crowley and Satan himself, but it seems like a lot of people fell for this tactic of, oh, we're not really, we're just worshiping nature, and it's really just a philosophy and so forth. And it looked like they're getting duped too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I went years ago with my wife a couple times to interview Susan Atkins. And that's what precipitated in my experience in interviewing her and seeking the Lord about it, the writing of that article. Because when my wife and I were interviewing Susan, she was convicted of 9 of the Manson murders. She died in 2011. But we interviewed her a couple different times, and she's a professing Christian, and we were able to get in there because of a connection with a friend of hers that was in the prison. And when I interviewed her, I wanted her to speak to that issue because I was already so many Satanists are being deceived into thinking that Satan's not even real, but they're actually joining, you know, the Church of Satan and so forth and other satanic cults. And in interviewing her, I brought up that question as to what was your experience? Were you duped by Anton LaVey into thinking that, you know, he wasn't really a Satanist? He was basically just an atheist. And it was amazing because she stated that she never, ever learned that her time there, oh yeah, Satan isn't real.
Anton told me that as a Satanist, he does believe in the God of the Bible, but he refused to worship him and made a conscious decision to worship Satan instead. I had a terrible headache, and Anton's wife got some juice out of the refrigerator so I could take some aspirin. It was then that I saw a bottle with something red in it. Anton's wife said it was blood that they used in their sacrifices. I told Anton that I needed to leave because I had a terrible headache and I believe in God. It was at this point Anton told me, "We believe in him too, we just don't worship him." Anton made it very clear to me that they truly worship Satan as a real entity. This is something that the inner core and the Church of Satan keep from the lower level initiates. They deny that they really worship Satan as a true entity in order to recruit those who would not otherwise join the Church of Satan. But when I was involved with Anton LaVey, it was made very clear that they truly worship the devil.
And I'll just say this. I think this is important to understand. There's a book out called Lucifer Rising that I read years ago. It was written by a member of the Church of Satan who was somewhat prominent in as a journalist with regard to music. And he became a member of the Church of Satan, and he's interviewing different Satanists, and he's interviewing Anton LaVey. And then he tells Anton, "What do you say to those folks who, those other Satanists that feel you're not extreme enough, that you're kind of a joke?" Because, you know, Anton would present himself as, "Oh, it's not, it's just atheism, like this group that we've exposed beginning of this is saying." And Anton let his hair down, letting people know that obviously we're for real, you know, but we had to do this as a kind of a balancing act. In fact, I'll quote him in the book. This is page 133 of Lucifer Rising. If they're at all intelligent, speaking of other true Satanists, if they're all intelligent, they'll realize that there's only so much I can say publicly. I will not advance things in print which make my position untenable. How long would the Church of Satan have lasted if I hadn't appeased an outrage in just the right combination? It required a certain amount of discretion and diplomacy to balance the outrage. So Chad, he's saying, hey, I had to make sure I did this balancing act, public relations, to suck people in. Because if people realize I actually worship Satan, and I was going to bring them, help bring Satan, you know, Satan bring them to hell for eternity, they'd never join the cult.
You know, and for Anton, you know, there's another guy who was just right underneath him who started his own satanic set, and that was Kenneth Anger as well, the guy who made Lucifer Rising.
Yeah.
It's a guy who's good friends with James Franco,
yeah,
by the way, and plenty of others in Hollywood.
You've exposed them.
And Asia Argento as well, and some of these guys. And you see Lady Gaga following some of his films as well. And so, you know, there's another guy tied to the Church of Satan. And these guys are gross, and they really do believe in Satan.
Yeah, and Lucifer Rising, other movies. I mean, Mick Jagger, you know, has participated in Marian Faithful, his wife at the time, and Jimmy Page is sitting there with a dagger underneath a big picture of Aleister Crowley in Lucifer Rising and so forth, and contributed music that ended up not getting used for that, soundtrack for that. Same deal, you know, Kenneth Anger co-founded the Church of Satan, but he really promoted Satanist Aleister Crowley a lot, and that's what he's known for. But Chad, on the front cover of the film, you know, Lucifer Rising, it states that Lucifer is not the devil, you know? He's not, basically he's not evil, you know? He said, "Lucifer is the light god, not the devil," you know? And again, Satan masquerades himself as an angel of light, as we know, but in that same book, Lucifer Rising, he's being interviewed along with others, including Anton LaVey. And on page 47, he admits that, guess what? Right there, Lucifer always was the devil of the Bible. So a lot of these top guys know what's going on. I'd be shocked if the people that are at the head of this newer satanic cult that are claiming to be atheists, if they're not doing the same thing. God knows. I mean, I think they're smarter than that, you know, and they know what they're doing, but the people that they're deceiving don't. In fact, I'm just going to let you know, in our audience, we love you, you know. God loves you so much. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, he can forgive you. In fact, Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I won't cast away. And you need to understand this. You may say, well, I have no affiliation with any satanic cult. I just do my own thing. You know, Jesus said, he that's not with me is against me. And Jesus said to religious people of his time in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. You know, he was a murderer from the beginning. He did not abide in the truth. He's the father of lies. And they thought they were going to heaven, but they're rejecting Christ. If you reject Christ, there's no salvation. The Bible says, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? God's provided salvation for you through Christ's death, his son's death on the cross, who paid for all of your sins. And you have to make a conscious choice to acknowledge that you're a sinner and admit it, and embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and recognize he paid for your sins. He rose again. He conquered Satan on the cross. He conquered death. He conquered hell. And he will provide an eternal abode for you in his eternal kingdom if you embrace him as your Lord and Savior and turn from this darkness and all your sin and just turn to Jesus Christ. You'll be forgiven. It'll enable you to live an empowered life for Christ.
Amen. We love you guys. God bless you guys.
Amen.
You've been listening to The Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel and host Chad Davidson, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, visit us online at goodfight.org. Join our growing social media family and consider partnering with us at patreon.com/goodfight.